The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, with an estimated 1 in 5 people in Ireland experiencing digestive problems on a regular basis, finding some solutions to those problems is a badly needed solution for many people. But with there being all kinds of products, wellness trends and diets out there, what are the do's and don'ts for gut wellness? Well, Lorraine Cooney is a gut health dietitian. That is a mouthful. And she joins me here in studio now. Lorraine, thanks so much for coming in.
It's great to be here.
Now, look, is this a big problem? Like, are there many people in Ireland who suffer with digestive issues?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think nearly on every day they would say 40% of the population may have some gut issue, bloating, pain, change in bowel habit. I find that maybe 1 in 10 people actually suffer with something called IBS, which is defined by pain and change in bowel habit, or you may have constipation or reflux. So, yeah, many people are affected.
And like some of them, obviously, go unnoticed for a while, I guess. People just kind of put up with stuff. But maybe talk to us a little bit about how debilitating some of those symptoms and issues can be.
Yeah, well, it can vary from mild symptoms to very severe. So it's all on a spectrum. But what I find is that people with these symptoms may normalise the abnormal. So it's not normal to have bloating all the time, or for your bowels not to operate like they should do, or you have pain. And there's increased awareness, I think, over recent years that it's okay to talk about these things. But if you find it hard to talk about it, tell somebody, but mainly your GP, and don't self-diagnose and try not to put up with it, because there's a range of conditions that it can be. Mm. Some are more serious than others. But what it does, it impacts people's day-to-day living in terms of getting up, feeling uncomfortable. What will they eat? What will they wear? Will they make it to the bathroom on time? Will they go in their car for a long journey? What will they eat when they go to the restaurant? What will they do when they go to their friend's house? So it becomes all-consuming and it can grow a lot of legs.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so if you were kind of giving someone recommendations who maybe, you know, hasn't got severe issues that they need to go to the doctor for, but you just want to give some life guidance about the basics you can get right for a healthy gut, what would you say?
Yeah. Massively, it would be to include 3 regular meals per day. Increase your fibre intake. Most people do not have enough fibre in their diet, and that comes from plant-based foods like your whole grains, fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds and pulses. And you want a variety of these foods in your diet. And then chewing your food and taking your time eating can also be massively helpful for people with digestive conditions and concerns. And then don't forget, it's not all about diet, but your stress and managing your stress day to day and being able to relax day to day, and also how well you sleep are big gut health wins and help keep you feeling better day to day.
Now, you hear that all the time about sleep, and I look, I'm a big proponent of getting a decent night's sleep. I think it's so important for recovery and everything like that. But on the stress one, mm-hmm. It can be very hard for people to try and consider that as a big part of managing something like your gut.
I know. Well, we know that there's a gut-brain connection. So your brain communicates with your gut and your gut communicates with your brain. It's a very complex entity. And
that's why gut instinct.
Yep, that's very true. Okay. Or if you feel butterflies, that's your gut-brain axis in action. So what your brain tells your gut can lead to how you present with symptoms like bloating or pain. And what your gut tells your brain can impact your mood. So it's a bi-directional communication.
So could something like bloating be down to a combination of diet and stress, or diet
Absolutely.
And stress and sleep?
Or? 100% and sleep, yes. All of them things. So it's kind of interrelated factors of diet and lifestyle.
And then what about on the sleeping one? Because I think a lot of people, again, think they're having a good night's sleep, but actually they're not. So is there any advice and recommendations that you could give about that?
Yeah, I think going to bed at the same time and getting up at the same time tends to be very helpful for a lot of people, including at weekends. Not to be on your phone all night scrolling. To not drink caffeine too late in the day, go easy on the booze, maybe get some daylight during daytime hours, which can help with your circadian rhythm and hormones and how you sleep at nighttime. Because I find if people with IBS who come to my clinic have a bad night's sleep, they can predict that they will have more pain that day. So it's really related to how we feel and how your gut functions.
And are there like people who have IBS and they kind of don't know that that's what they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't guess. It's about going to your GP and explaining the symptoms that you're experiencing.
And what would the symptoms of that be for someone who has it?
First and foremost, it's abdominal pain that's lingering on. It might come and go, but it's there for a couple of months. And you'd have a change in bowel habits, whether you find it easier or harder to move your bowels, or they'd be more frequent or less frequent.
Mm.
They're the main things that I would say go to your GP. Because you can run some blood tests. You want to outrule that it's not celiac disease or an inflammatory condition. They may send you for further investigation. So you just be on the safe side. Don't guess it.
Mm. Lots of texts coming in, questions for you, if you don't mind, Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
Please ask your guest what probiotic to take after being on 4 consecutive antibiotics. Thank you, Anne. Now, can you just explain to us what a probiotic is?
A probiotic is where they get a strain of bacteria and put it into usually a capsule or a liquid, and you take it and it should confer a health benefit. So it's like a live microorganism. So you put it into your body and it should make you feel better to some regard.
So does it stimulate your gut?
No, it just has an effect as it passes through. So
okay.
It doesn't colonize or stay in there. It just has an effect. So you want to pick a strain of bacteria that's been shown in a research study to have an effect.
Okay, so Anne's asking this question, what probiotic to take? So do different probiotics work for different things and different people?
Absolutely. It's very strain specific, and there's thousands of strains out there, and there's thousands of rubbish strains that won't do anything once you spend your hard-earned cash on them.
What are they so we can avoid them?
No, there's too many.
Oh, there's too many. Okay.
So what we do is we look at the clinical trials and make sure that there was a good quality trial in humans and it has shown to have an effect. So say for maybe antibiotic-associated diarrhoea, then you can take an antibiotic. Or if it was for IBS, you can take a probiotic that has good research.
So if Anne has been on 4 consecutive antibiotics, she's asking this question, presumably what do antibiotics make you a bit weaker in terms of your immune or your...
Well, it will change the balance of bacteria.
Okay.
Probably change the good and bad bacteria in your gut. But this is my thinking, is that it's not about taking a probiotic. And I think sometimes... it's not clear cut. And one research study showed that people who took a probiotic, they had delayed recovery in their gut.
Mm.
So with my dietetic hat on, I would say focus on increasing plant-based foods in your diet, because that
don't
is...
Don't go near the probiotics.
Well, I think you're going to get a lot more bang from your buck by going and increasing the variety of plant-based foods in your diet, because that is what feeds your gut bugs. So once they've been killed off or lower levels of... especially the good guys, you want them to come back and thrive. So that is the fertilizer, are your whole grains, fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds and
pulses. They're going to work. You don't have to test it as a probiotic. You know that that's going to work for you.
Yeah, you want a bit of recovery time, but you would just, they are, that is, in my opinion, what works best.
Okay, hope that's okay for you, Anne. Jer is also on, what is it with people eating all these pickle foods lately? I see so many on TikTok saying it's for their gut. Will vinegar or whatever it's pickled in not have bad effects, Jer?
Yeah, I think there's very scant evidence that fermented foods have this huge impact on our gut health. I think they're a good addition to your diet because they also have live microbes. Don't be confused. That's not always saying it's a probiotic.
Okay.
Because it hasn't had all these trials. But I do think having fermented foods in your diet is a good addition to your diet, but they're not an exceller for health.
Mm-hmm. Should children under 5 have probiotics?
I don't myself work in paediatrics, but again, it would be strain specific. So if your child had an issue, such as maybe diarrhea post, or maybe, I'm not quite sure because I don't work in that area, but maybe constipation, they may benefit from taking a probiotic. But again, it would have to be the ones that are researched and
but
proven to work.
But you wouldn't give children a probiotic as a part of their daily routine?
No.
Only if they had issues?
Yeah, no, not children, not adults, not anybody. There's no proven effects that just taking a probiotic for gut health in general is effective is not a truth.
But I think people are doing that.
Absolutely, yeah, because the marketing is so strong and you're meant to believe that this is good. But if you take all of the evidence, you'll find that having more plant-based foods in your diet will have a way greater effect on your gut health.
Okay, well, our listeners are entirely enthusiastic to know what are the best foods to eat for your gut. Is it all seeds and nuts, or can we eat something actually tasty?
I think all plants, which can be tasty. So your whole grains. So think of like your oats and your rice and your quinoa, maybe buckwheat and all your vegetables, your fruits, nuts and seeds, and your pulses like your beans and your lentils, and also oily fish, extra virgin olive oil, avocados. They're also extremely healthy foods. And your fermented foods, your yogurt, maybe some kimchi, maybe some kefir.
Okay, on the other end of the spectrum, what about alcohol?
I'd love to say there's great effects from drinking some alcohol.
I'm detecting it. There's not.
As part of the Mediterranean diet, they do include a glass of wine in the pyramid. So you can say in small amounts, probably isn't harmful. But for your gut, there is no benefit because it can change how you, it can change transit through your gut, it can dehydrate, it can change intestinal permeability, so how things move through your gut lining. So yeah, in moderation.
And we're getting so many texts in. If the people wanted to have a look at a website, or do you have some place where people can go to get advice on this?
Mm-hmm. I run a gut health clinic in Blackrock Clinic in Blackrock in Dublin, where I offer consultations. So yeah, and I have an Instagram account called Gut Health Matters. You can look me up there.
Okay, well, we'll certainly be doing that. Lorraine Courtney, thank you very much for coming in to us. That was Lorraine Courtney, gut health dietitian, and I got out the words properly this time.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.